the second sunniest studio in DRT. It's Studio B. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And welcome to it on a beautiful, beautiful early April. Sun is shining.
Is it winter or is it spring?
No, it's definitely spring. I can see it from we're two windows away. And it is definitely sunny outside.
Usually.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's real spring. I mean, I know it's real spring based on baseball. Baseball has started. And also the Masters started yesterday. I watched a bit of the par 3 contest. That's good time. That's good TV, by the way.
I'll take your word for it.
It is. I mean, we have 30 minutes. I can tell you all about it.
No, it's fine.
It's the best golfers in the world, and their caddies are their kids and their friends and stuff. So it's there. You know, it was one of these guys had his dad hit a couple of par threes in front of a huge audience.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, hit it real, real close. A couple of them hit it in the water. There were some, you know, 5-year-old kids running around in caddy outfits, you know, getting entertained in the crowd. So it's spring.
Were they getting paid, do you think?
No, I would hope not. They weren't good. Also, caddying for a par 3 contest, you just keep handing him the wedge. You hand him the wedge, you hand him the putter, you lug a bag. Yeah, other than that, I watched the Brewers this week.
Baseball.
Yes. No.
Hey.
Baseball. It is baseball season. The Brewers are 5-1. I'm sure you were keeping up.
On a side note, every time I think of baseball and so an announcer,
mm-hmm.
I think of Euchre.
Yeah.
In Major League.
Yes. Yes.
Strike 15. Yeah.
And when we started doing this, that was my original intent, is the lead was going to be Bob Euchre stuff from Major League. Yeah. I mean, we can still do that.
Yeah,
now that we officially have a show and we're entrenched.
We'll just make it better.
We couldn't make it worse. We could. But no.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Anytime I think about baseball, yes, absolutely. I think about Bob Euchre. And inevitably, I go to Major League. And the Brewers are 5-1. I know it's kind of early in the baseball season.
Is it the same as the Vikings going 13-4?
It's like getting excited for the Vikings going 13-4 at the end of the first quarter of the first game of the season and seeing that they're up 14-0 and saying, or 14-3 and saying, well, this is a Super Bowl team. That being said, the Brewers pitching. Is they're starting pitching. They've now gone through the rotation once, at least once. They have the best ERA amongst the starters in Major League Baseball, which, like I said, doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, except that Corbin Burnes, who is their best pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the National League, has pitched terribly in his first two. He's given up a lot of runs. He's given up two home runs. He's given up 10 earned runs in two starts.
That's it? That's actually a lot.
In 12, it pitched, I think it was like 10 innings. He's given up 10 earned runs. Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, guys who you probably don't pay much attention to, but if you're a Brewers fan, all three of those people are reasons to get excited. Like I said, they're the best starting pitchers in the majors, and I can't tell you much about their relievers other than their closer is a Devin Williams is a phenomenal closer, and they're 5-1.
Nice.
Yeah,
5-2.
Five? No,
I thought it was 5-2.
No, 5-1. They are. They lost their first game of the year, and then they've won 5 in a row, including shutting out the Mets 9-0 and 10-0, and winning one of them as a walk. They won Wednesday. Yep.
You're 5-1. You're right.
Yeah,
I was wrong.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Your producer is not.
No. Our Brewers coverage. I am 100% on the ball on that one. I double check a lot of the research for the Brewers coverage. But the Brewers stuff I really do. And amongst the hitters, Christian Yelich is playing really, really well. Which, to the casual fan, Christian Yelich. Playing pretty well doesn't mean much. He's their highest paid player. He's starting to play pretty well. Willie Adames has started out the season pretty well. But the real news is the rookies. The Brewers are starting, because of injuries to their starting third baseman to start the year, they are starting at least two rookies in the outfield.
Nice.
Garrett Mitchell's got himself 3 home runs, and he's hitting a solid 300. And then Joey Weimer is the other. He's a right fielder who was called up when their third baseman got injured. Their third baseman's going to be out about 2 months. He's hitting right around 350. It's like I said, it's nice. It's, you know, 15 at bats, but that's a really solid.
And it's only six games.
And it's only, like I said, it's very, very, very early. And once, you know, pitchers start figuring out with the new rules exactly how they're right. going to do things. And baseball's all about little adjustments. It's 162 games. So there's adjustments that happen between at-bats and after games and road trips. And pitchers start looking at what they're doing wrong. And hitters start figuring it out. But let's see. Bryce Terang is the other rookie. Shortstop. He's started shortstop every game. He's hitting over 300. He's got a couple of steals. He's got himself a home run. He's playing really, really good, solid defensive baseball. So three rookies starting, and the Brewers' offense was, from last year, just terrible. They were almost a playoff team last year with one of the three or four worst offenses in Major League Baseball and one of the best pitching rotations. So if you're going to see any improvement. If you see any improvement, and you have to,
yeah.
If you can't see an improvement at some point in the year, you gotta start firing managers. But they're showing improvement. They're 5-1. The holes in their lineup are not holes if they can
for now.
Yeah, like I said, but you know it's nice to get optimistic. And I've only been able to see them or listen to the Brewers on the radio. I still haven't seen a game.
Okay.
I'm not interested in paying for to watch the Brewers, but I'll listen to them every single day. So that's kind of a nice thing to watch.
Sure.
And listen to. Like they have a game Friday. They have a weekend starting against the Cardinals. They got a
yep.
three or four game series against the Cardinals this weekend. And as a Brewers fan, you should not like the Cardinals. There's nothing good about the St. Louis Cardinals. There never has been for a very, very long time, in my lifetime at least. I've been anti-Cardinals in the same way that I'm anti-Vikings.
Easy there.
Well, they're not, you know, you shouldn't root for them.
You should be more against the Chicago Bears.
No, because the Bears never win anything.
Well, they might now.
No, they don't. No, they won't. History has told us things no. like the Vikings won't win a Super Bowl, won't be good.
Other than 85.
I'm not a math guy, but that feels like nearly 50 years ago, right? Like 40 and change years ago. 38 years ago.
Yeah.
Long time. There's probably some listeners who remember the 85 Bears, but I just remember the Super Bowl shuffle. But no, as a Wisconsin fan, nicely root against Iowa and Michigan, and any Minnesota related anything is always fun to root against.
It happens.
It should be, as it should be.
So I'm looking at the Minnesota Twins lineup.
Sure. Look at you.
Two names I recognize.
And those names are?
Carlos Correa.
Sure. Yeah, because we talked about him earlier in the year. He's very high paid.
Yeah.
And he's brittle, apparently. He's very, yeah. very, very not healthy with his knees or something, but he's also very highly paid.
Byron Buxton?
Yeah. He was a number two overall pick. Super, super talented guy. Oh. Also brittle.
Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo is a name that I think he played for the Yankees.
Texas?
At some point, played for Texas at some point. Yes.
Yeah. Other than that, I really don't know any other names in there. Max Kepler, I've heard. That's because on social media, I follow the Minnesota sports groups.
Okay. Well, I mean,
that's it.
So 3 out of 26. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Does Boof Bonzer still play for the Twins? That's just my favorite sports name. Is he still? I'm guessing not. He feels like he retired a long time ago. But no, I honestly can't. I'm not a Twins. I can name you guys from the 80s. I can name you more Twins from 1991 from current
yes.
Twins. Absolutely. I mean, and we could spend 30 good minutes talking about mid-80s Brewers and Twins team. That would be really compelling radio, but I would
love to. That was actually
when
I actually enjoyed baseball.
Sure.
Because I went to the Twins games back in that stadium.
Oh, good. The Metrodome was a legitimately home field advantage big time.
Yeah, yeah.
I can remember during World Series games, they'd have that plexiglass wall out there and everybody with the white hankies. And I remember Kirby Puckett hitting a home run.
I have one of those white hankies, actually.
Yeah. See, you are you're not a baseball fan, but you are a Twins fan.
I'm a Minnesota fan.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yes. But no,
whether it's Gophers or Twins, Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, okay.
They're actually not that bad this year.
Sure. Yeah.
They're actually in the conversation
NBA
for playoffs
are coming around. We can next week because I didn't fit it in. Maybe we can. But we can talk NBA playoffs, and we probably should next week because I'm pretty sure you're down to about 3-4 games left in the NBA season.
If that.
Yep. It's
because the Bucks have already clinched, I believe.
That is correct. And according my fantasy basketball, I'm in the playoffs, and I think we got like we're on the last week. About 3-4 games left. Bucks still look really,
really
good.
Play-in starts the 11th through the 14th.
Yep. So yep. Next week we'll do a little bit of who's in the playoffs and why, as much as we can stand the NFL playoffs or NBA playoffs. Excuse me. What else happened? Over the last week, the NCAA Final Four.
Yep,
I watched. Anybody else might have watched. The FAU San Diego State game ended in a really awesome game winner. It was if you're into sports, March Madness is once again, even if you couldn't name one player from Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, or UConn, it's just great basketball. It's great sports to watch. UConn was really big. They won the championship they had a ton of talent. Miami was the second most talented team. Mm-hmm. Probably the best team they played, and they beat them. They beat them all the way around. San Diego State, UConn. UConn was just better. They were bigger and better and more experienced and played. San Diego State played defense, but UConn also plays defense, and they had McDonald's All-Americans, experienced McDonald's All-Americans. They're a blue blood program. They've won their fifth title since 99. They've won it with three different coaches. That is the most of any program in college basketball. So way to go, UConn. Also along college basketball, I guess we can fit it in. Tyler Wahl, everybody's favorite Wisconsin Badgers, coming back for his fifth year. He decided to come back for his COVID year, which means their team is losing Jordan Davis. He's transferring out, but basically a team that was a game, 20 game winner is getting all of their team back. Oh. So, like I said, Tyler Wall's not an NBA player. He's a will play, overseas type player. He looks like he could coach somebody.
Sure.
But it's nice to have a fifth year senior guy on your on your favorite team. So go Tyler Wahl.
Okay. You want to talk about the women's NCAA?
Yeah. Let's. I was going to do that fourth, but since we're into basketball, and the more exciting, and it's hard to believe, the more newsworthy event was the women's Final Four. There was the highest televised.
Yes. 12.5 million viewers.
Yep. An amount of people watched the women's Final Four that had never been seen before, and it was great games. The first game, the Iowa and South Carolina game, Iowa did something for anybody who's watched high school basketball. They played defense in a very high school basketball fashion. They did not guard the three-point shooters on South Carolina. Hmm. There were times when they would just turn around and guard everybody else and just let South Carolina shoot.
Was South Carolina not a three-point shooting team?
Correct. South Carolina plays incredible defense. They're the number one team in the country. Had the best player in the country, who is a center, big, experienced, not great shooters. They won every game this year by just physicality. Put it, and Iowa didn't let them, and they squeaked one out, and they won. Caitlin Clark for Iowa was just so good to watch. They showed 80-some% of all the points scored by Iowa in the tournament were either scored or assisted by Caitlin Clark, by one player. That was the first game.
How many more years is she done now?
Fairly certain she's a senior. I don't know if that means she can come back for a fifth year. I don't know if there's more money to be made in women's pro sports and you can go pro a year early. But with the COVID eligibility from a year ago, I don't know if somebody's a senior, if that means they are a senior or they have another year.
Or senior plus.
Senior plus. The senior plus plan for the NCAA is, all right. Send some information out. Yeah.
It's like ARP.
But so that was the semifinal. Iowa won. They were, and then in the final, you got LSU versus Iowa, and it was a great game back and forth, but LSU won. Angel Reese was the MVP. was the best player on the court. And at the end of the game, I'm sure if anybody paid attention to the women's Final Four, she threw up the John Cena. And for anybody not watching at home, I am putting my hands in front of my face like you can't see me. And she also flashed the I'm going to get a ring at Caitlin Clark, which...
Was it the ring?
It was her middle finger, and that's where you put the championship ring. Yeah, that is where you put a championship ring, because it's... Yes, that was... I know this. I am just old enough to know that's what she was doing. And for anybody who wasn't watching any of the games and just saw that little snippet on their
very
news,
judgy.
It was easy to come up with the opinion that Angel Reese was in the wrong for showmanship or bad sportsmanship.
Right.
And it wasn't great sportsmanship, but also Caitlin Clark from Iowa had been doing that same gesture. She did it in the Elite Eight to a player from Louisville. She was very... she'd been talking a lot during the previous game against South Carolina. It's what she does. It's what one of the things I love about college sports,
right,
is now that these athletes are getting paid some money on the side, are getting paid legal money, they can be who they want to be.
Right.
If they want to be somebody who talks and gets it, they can do it, and people will watch. She threw that, and there was a little bit of an uproar-ish about it. You know, people were...
A little bit.
You got the ESPN site, the news cycles, sports cycles ran it through. If you watched any of it, you can't really fault... Angel Reese was in the moment. She was winning a championship. She had been she's a transfer. She'd played a lot of college basketball. The players on South Carolina that Caitlin Clark was a little dismissive and perhaps she thought disrespectful to, she knows them. These are college athletes. These are their peers. They know. So she felt like that was her spot. And at the end, Joe Biden, the president's wife, stuck 2 cents in and said that she was going to invite both teams, to which LSU's player said, maybe we don't want to go. And Caitlin Clark, to her credit, said, winners go to the White House. We didn't win. So it's kind of a controversial moment, which of all the... for all the NCAA tournament, that was the biggest moment.
Yeah,
that was
right.
But that also... When's the last time that people have talked about women's college sports in the mainstream, unless it's, you know,
right?
I can't think of it. So no, that was great theater. That was great sports. If you like sports, that was the Final Four was fantastic. So now there's a nice lull for me for college sports until football again. But basically,
some of the colleges are already
spring practices.
Started.
I watched the hype video from the Wisconsin spring practice. Their quarterbacks look like real quarterbacks. They're bigger, stronger, faster, and better coached than last year. We'll kick that can down the road for it's a little early to talk Badger spring practice.
Though?
I mean, for me, it is. I didn't think much about it. I didn't write much down. That covers our amateur sports. You want to talk about the NFL?
I don't know. Is there anything going on in the NFL? I mean,
always. Let me pound the table for the NFL. There's always something going on.
To quote my wife.
Oh, please do.
Because I got the NFL Network at home. She's like, what are you doing? I'm watching football. There's no football on. I go, there's always football on.
That's 100%.
And she doesn't realize. I mean, we've talked before about the offseason. I think it's more exciting than the regular season.
Oh, the offseason makes me want to draw one of those giant maps and charts connect everybody.
Pull the old Madden?
Yes.
Anybody over there? Pow!
I telestrate. Yes, 100%. It does.
No, I love it because...
This guy's going here, impacts this guy going there, impacts who wins this year and next year.
Chess.
I'm with you.
It's a huge game of chess. You know, and I'm adamant. I love my big Minnesota Vikings.
Sure.
Bad or lose or any otherwise.
Yeah. Mostly lose.
Except for last season when we were 13-4 and just failed miserably in the playoffs.
I wish we were saving some of these things so that we could bring this back next year when they're 4-13.
Yeah, right.
And Kirk Cousins hasn't seen the field in about 4 weeks. Yeah. No. Oh. Remember that one year when we were good?
Yeah,
I do.
But I love it because there's so many. I mean, I love the GM or the owner, process of going, all right, well, what if they do this because Kirk Cousins' contract's up after next year? Are they going to grab a quarterback? Or are they going to go grab somebody that protects him? Are they going to get somebody that offsets Justin Jefferson?
Yeah. Do we need to replace person X with this draft pick?
Let Kendricks go, which I thought was a very staple.
Does that mean they need a linebacker, right? Like, it would seem like they've lost a couple linebackers over the last couple of years.
But then I go, okay, it was Brian Flores knows what he got. But and then doesn't care.
He's and then you look at the mock draft and you're like, for me, I always like to look at my favorite team about three or four spots after them in the mock draft to see who they didn't, why aren't they taking so-and-so? Why? Right. Like I looked at the Packers mock draft and they're mocked, at least the recent one that we're talking about is the ESPN Mel Kiper.
Yep. Who is pretty spot on usually in the first round.
If we're going to be quoting mock drafts, that's the one. He's the one. They had another defensive player from Miles Murphy.
Really?
From Clemson. Huh. Defensive player again. It's every year. And that's why. And I looked at, underneath him, about three picks later, is a bunch of wide receivers. And you ask yourself, why wouldn't they draft one of those wide receivers? Why wouldn't they draft a tight end?
They're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back and give his approval.
When does Jordan Love get to start picking players? At what point in his career?
As soon as the ink on the paper.
He's under contract and he wants to play for Green Bay. Can't he pick a couple players for himself?
Yeah, probably not yet because he hasn't proven himself yet.
Ugga mugga. No, that's why I said I love a good mock draft because I ask myself, do the Packers need a defensive player? And unfortunately, the answer is yes, because they were terrible on defense last year. But if you don't, their offense wasn't all that good either. So do they need a wide receiver? I feel like they need a wide receiver.
They do, but I think for them, they're moving on to Aaron Rodgers one way or the other,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Finally. They know this next year is going to be a year, probably with Jordan Love.
You know what's funny is they thought that too with the first year of Aaron Rodgers. I thought that was going to be kind of a meh, and he did okay. You know?
But I think they're going to go to defense. I think you should, and just to strengthen, try to make it better. My Minnesota Vikings are in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the worst defense last year.
Right.
You know, we got rid of Kendricks. We got rid of a couple other people that you kind of go,
Which naturally, in a mock draft, would mean the Vikings are going to select Hendon Hooker, a 25-year-old quarterback, who tore his ACL about three quarters of the way through the season. That was the fifth quarterback drafted, was mocked to the Vikings, was the fifth best quarterback, which... We were talking about this off the air.
Yeah.
The logistics of if you think he's pretty good and you don't have a second round pick, as the Vikings don't, and he's not going to be there in the third round, you don't want to trade up just in case. You take him at the end of the first round, you have him for 5 years, if you're maybe sixth, right? Because you get that fifth year, and if he's good, you're almost always franchise a quarterback. But, Hendon Hooker was the fifth best quarterback. He was a transfer from Virginia Tech. He's 25 years old.
Right.
He's older than Justin Jefferson. He had one great year in college. He was in the Heisman Trophy. He had two interceptions. But for the most part, the fifth best quarterback in a draft doesn't guarantee going to be. I can't name a lot of draft. If there's a fifth quarterback drafted in a first round.
What was Rodgers?
He was the 25th pick, but there was only two quarterbacks taken. It was Alex Smith, and then way down the line ended up.
No, so, but you're right. But I mean, it's always a gamble.
And so
looking at right now, teams that need a quarterback are going, Lamar Jackson, or do I draft? You know, Lamar Jackson, he's going to hamper your financials for the next three, four, 5 years.
And of course, so does drafting the wrong quarterback. Nothing ruins a franchise faster than drafting and putting your eggs in a first round quarterback's basket. That's not very good. Minnesota.
Christian Ponder experiment.
Yeah.
You know?
Christian Ponder experiment.
Tre'Davious Jackson.
The Christian Ponder experiment led to the Kirk Cousins signing. Is essentially, you know, you. So yeah, if you're. We were looking at, there's four quarterbacks that were mocked in the. One of them has to be a bust. There's just no way that all five are going to be functional good starters.
I had my pick.
So who's the bust?
I would say Anthony Richardson if he's not picked at the right team.
Right.
You know,
if a not if a Raiders drafts if a team who can't who if a team that's never figured out how to develop a quarterback,
right.
A Washington Commanders, that guy's ruined. If
you know, no, I, not because Rivera.
Well,
I mean, had Cam right. Cam Nor- Newton in Carolina.
Yeah,
he did pretty good those first three yes. 4 years.
But yeah, I'm talking wastelands of places like, where.
Well, Cleveland doesn't need one.
Cleveland doesn't need. Where else?
Houston.
Houston, but they're he doesn't look like the best quarterback. Houston looks like they're going to ruin Bryce Young.
Physically, he's a phenom.
Right.
You know, but he's so raw with, what, 12 games under his belt?
And again, it's one of those things where you look at, just like we talked about, Bryce Young is too small. There's right. no 5'10", 195-pound quarterbacks anywhere in the NFL. They just plain old don't exist. There is also no quarterbacks in the league that are 6'3", run a 4.4, and are basically sprinting.
Right.
Up. There's never been one, right?
I think he's...
Vick, but Michael Vick was smaller.
Yep.
Donovan McNabb, Dante Culpepper weren't that athletic, but they were that big.
Yep.
So
the Cam argument, Newton.
You Cam Newton say, yes. Cam
that's
Newton.
The only one that's really,
and
he's not been bad. I mean, except to the last
but as like
5 running, days when he said he'll back up any of these.
You could say a running quarterback doesn't last. So
right,
Will Levis looks like he's one of those fourth. He looks like a quarterback, but he looks like Carson Wentz. He looks like Baker Mayfield. He looks like
awkward.
He's something about.
He doesn't see the biggest thing with Bryce Young is he's got that awareness. He's right. got that. It.
But
so if Bryce Young was in Levis's body,
yeah.
there'd be no doubt.
Right. So there's got to be something about so one of those guys. But yeah, you're right. If I was going to say the chances that Hendon Hooker is a bust, probably minimal because he's going to be 25, 26. Yep. He's going to have a redshirt year essentially. It'll be interesting to see with the draft. What he got is a month or so.
End of the month.
Is the end of this month, right?
It's 25th?
A Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday.
Right.
Oh, that's going to be exciting, which means we are going to record a show and then watch the NFL draft. Buddy, that was our best show ever. This wraps us up once again. You can catch us on WDRT 930. Of course, on Fridays when you're listening now, you can catch it on the archives after that. Spotify's got all of our stuff. Please feel free to look us up. And I'm going to play a song just in case I can't play it again. It's Superman by Goldfinger. In case Aaron Rodgers is gone by next week and we never
You'll
get
be
to
fine.
Play it again. You know, have a great show. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you very much for listening.
And have a good Easter this weekend.
Yeah, happy Easter. Yeah. Bye-bye. Lost count of sheep. My mind is racing faster every minute.